Dearly beloved, I love Pentecost Sunday, and I know I've told you that before, but I really love Pentecost Sunday. I love it because look how beautiful the sanctuary gets on Pentecost Sunday. I love Pentecost Sunday even though, again, I know I've told you this before also, but I love Pentecost Sunday even though the reading of the story from Acts tends to make me feel a little nervous, because when I was in seminary, one of my public speaking professors made us read the Pentecost story out loud as the final exam for our class. It is, perhaps, the hardest passage of Scripture to read, as Cindy can attest, because she's read it now 2 years in a row. And it's hard because of all of these weird names of ancient places. You have to pronounce Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya by belonging to Cyrene, to say nothing of visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. But in my seminary class, we weren't required to pronounce the names of the places correctly. We just had to do a convincing job of pretending we knew how to pronounce the words like Cappadocia, Cyrene, Phrygia, Pamphylia correctly. And I just pronounced them all so that you would know that I passed that class. I think I got a B+. Actually, it was one of the most important lessons I learned in seminary. The language of faith is about more than simple pronunciation. It's about presence and attitude. It's about how we use our words to love one another, how we use our language to speak of truth that lies beyond pronunciation, about how we communicate beauty that is unrestrained by theological correctness. In fact, when my professor handed down his requirement that we read the Pentecost story with confidence rather than with correct pronunciation, he was inviting us to participate in the power of the very story we were reading. For when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus' disciples on that day we remember as the birthday of the church, the disciples were not just given the ability to speak new language with correct pronunciation. They were given confidence to use the languages the Holy Spirit taught them to speak. Mere pronunciation is never enough. If we want to speak of God's love for the world, if like Jesus we want to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, if we want to bind up the brokenhearted and announce the season of God's favor, then it's not enough to say the right words and to say them with careful pronunciation and correct grammatical usage. Though, Lord knows, we should never dangle a participle. If we want to communicate in ways that heal, in ways that bring kindness and beauty to the world, then we must infuse our words with confidence. Confidence that is born of love and compassion and tender strength. Now, I've always felt that Pentecost should be embraced by Protestants as being the most important of our holy days, because 500 years ago, the Protestant movement began in part with a recognition that God speaks as many languages as the children of God speak, which meant that everyone should be able to read the Bible in their native tongues, and that preachers should deliver sermons in a wide variety of languages, and theologians should consider the ways of God in every linguistic system imaginable. Protestants, dearly beloved, Protestants are polyglots. The recognition that God speaks many languages is part of what defines us. But what good would it do if we decided to translate the Bible into English, but then we never actually studied our sacred text? Or what if we affirmed the importance of preaching in English and then used English to say nasty things from the pulpit? It's been known to happen. And if the church is going to be a place of spiritual bullying or a community that foments hate and promotes fear, then I say it's far better for us to go back to speaking Latin and Greek. Because unless the gift of linguistic diversity is infused with love and kindness and beauty and a desire for justice and peace, then who gives a damn? Correct pronunciation is never enough. Some of you who follow me on Facebook are aware that in the city of Fountain Hills, Arizona, the pastors of 8 congregations in that town, one of which is Presbyterian like us, they've decided to preach a coordinated series of sermons that is attacking progressive Christianity. Most observers of the situation are pretty sure that this series of sermons is directed at the pastor of the local Methodist church, a friend of mine named David Felton, who is the co-creator of the Living the Questions video series, which we've used here in our church and which I've done writing for. Today is the second Sunday in the sermon series, and I listened to some of the sermons from the first week, and it was a painful experience. The sermons from the Calvary Chapel and the Assemblies of God were bad, but particularly awful was the Presbyterian sermon. The Presbyterian pastor spoke of the spirituality and theology that we use here at Montclair Presbyterian Church as theological malware. He spoke of people like you and me as if we're tools of Satan. And he suggested that progressive Christianity is like a cobra that mesmerizes its prey before striking with deadly venom. I hated listening to those sermons. I believe those pastors have a right and a responsibility to promote their take on the Christian faith. And if they believe God is calling them to do so, they absolutely should articulate what they find troubling about progressive Christianity as it is practiced by David Felton and by me and perhaps by you. But there is no room for petty nastiness in the kingdom of God. Correct pronunciation is never enough. But here's the rub. Part of why I disliked hearing those sermons is that they forced me to confront the fact that I have used unkind words when speaking about evangelicals in the past. I've never called anyone a tool of Satan, but that's probably because I don't really believe in Satan. I have been snarky and dismissive. I have oversimplified the ideas with which I disagree in order to make those ideas easier rhetorically to dismantle. That's not the work of a pastor. That's the work of a radio talk show host. The gift of Pentecost, the miraculous ability to speak in many languages, is a beautiful thing. But as with much that is beautiful, the beauty bears a weight of great responsibility. For if we do not speak in our various languages with love and kindness and grace and peace, then the miracle of Pentecost is wasted on us. But I don't want to end my sermon with words of wasted miracles. So instead, I'd like to draw this sermon to a close by celebrating an example of how the gift of languages has been used well. And it's a story all of you know, but I want to reframe the story as a Pentecost story. Because one of the things I've learned in the last couple of weeks is that the Spirit of God enables the people of God to speak in the language of social media. And the story, as I've said, is one that most of you know. But together, let's recall that over the last couple of months, our youth group has worked hard to support Anna Santos and help a mother out in their efforts to collect diapers for mothers in need here in Oakland. The youth have used their work of diaper collection as a time to learn about the plight of teenaged parents. It's a fine example of the kind of good work that Talitha and her team of youth advisors is doing in our youth group. But then on Mother's Day, someone broke into Anna's car and stole all those diapers that the youth group had collected. It was about 1,000 nappies altogether, and it really profoundly sucked. But the Holy Spirit enables God's children to speak the language of social media, not just with correct pronunciation, but also with kindness and grace and love. In particular, some of Anna's friends in Memphis shared the story on Facebook, and by the end of the week, diapers were pouring in from all over the country. And we have been collecting diapers here at church. And at last count, those 1,000 stolen diapers had been replaced by more than 8,000 new diapers. It was like, yay. It was like the final scene in It's a Wonderful Life, except it was diapers instead of cash. It was Anna in the place of George Bailey. Adrian took the place of my Aunt Donna in the role of Mary. And by the way, instead of the angel Clarence getting his wings, Anna found out she passed the California State Bar. And so, happy Pentecost. Feliz Pentecostes. Pancot ero. Felice Pentecoste. Glucliest Pentecost. Pentecoste felice. Happy Pinkstra. Etuquismanis Pentecostes. You know what I mean. Happy Pentecost. Amen.